Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Everybody, you've heard about it. It's now finally here. I'm back on the microphone. John Cass, Chicago Way, or whatever we're going to call this thing. It's almost like riding a bicycle, or like a bear, if you were bare-chested and looked like Vladimir Putin. I want you to put that in your mind, because this is the theater of the mind, and John Cass is back with a microphone in front of him. It's been a while. They called me into an office a while back at another place and said, we're going to have a change of direction. I think that was a day that 2 days after we got the vote, you know, getting Rahm Emanuel in a runoff. But right now we're at WGN Plus. Myself, there's Will Lee over there on the other microphone. Say hi, Will.
Hi, Will.
Will is the leg man for the column. He goes by the name of Old School. He's somewhat of a writer in his own right, and we're going to talk about that later. And also, my buddy Jeff Carlin behind the glass. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, boys.
So, what's it like being back here on the radio talking the column out rather than just typing it? I got to tell you, I missed it. I've missed speaking directly to you about what I do and what we see. I've missed it terribly. But what I don't like to do, I don't want to go back to some format where I have to talk about stupid stuff for 3 minutes, then have a commercial break, then more stupid stuff about what I ate, and then a commercial break, and then what did you see on TV, since most of the stuff on TV is stupid anyway. And I don't like having to have energy and have a high-pitched, like, chattery voice and be very excited, because sometimes, like today, it's cold out, I'm depressed. I like to, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to just walk in a cemetery alone, okay, in the snow. All right, is that too depressing for you? Well, too bad. Some days you feel like that. Some days you come to work and you don't feel chatty, okay? There are some days I come into the office, Will's at his desk as he is every day, 9 o'clock, sharp and ready to go. And some days I just don't want to talk to people. Some days I do. But I want to talk to you because you're the people that are up at 1 o'clock in the morning with me on Facebook. And you know your names because we're always talking. I have two Facebook pages and I switch back and forth. I don't know why I have two, but it turned out that I have them, and I just like talking to you. So we're gonna try this out, see how it is, see how it works out. In the meantime, let's talk about some stuff that's important, which is the news. And I can't think of a more important subject than hearing from Robert Feeder this morning that Channel 30 or Fox WFLD, My Fox Chicago, the women on the station have been told that they must not wear hats to mess up their sexy hair on TV. Will Lee, Old School, what do you think of that one?
I couldn't believe it when I read it this morning. It's actually one of the first things I read when I woke up. And I said, is this for real? Is this a real story? But then I remembered a lot of the embarrassing things from Fox News come from straight from Feeder's mouth. So I thought, this can't be real.
Has Bob been hitting on Fox News for a while?
Oh, he's been doing it for quite a time. It's really, I guess he's been marking all of the sort of markdowns in quality, all the talent they have come and gone
right.
from there just in recent years, the different, the high turnover. They really had a popular newscast in the 9 o'clock slot for a long time, but it's just been kind of a revolving door over there.
Well, I like the station because they're one of the few TV stations that actually call me to say something. And instead of, this is the magic of TV, instead of going down to the studio, which is like a block away from here, I'll just stand outside. I'd rather do that because then you're in and out, you know what I mean?
Right.
For 3 seconds and somebody asks you a question about, what about Rahm? What do you think? Was Rahm through? Is Rahm done? And you talk and you're done. But they had an editorial that was amazing. I thought it was really good. Dennis Walsh, I think he's one of the big bosses there, did an editorial about Rahm versus the volcano, which I thought was really good. And I thought, okay, this thing is maybe, you know, maybe they're coming up again. And then they do the sexy hair thing. Now, what's wrong, Will, with sexy hair on TV?
You know, we're probably at a part now. A very peculiar part, not peculiar bad, of course, but we're in a part now where everybody wants to be look past, you know, like the looking at women newscasters and all that. That's a thing of the past. That's a thing of the 20th century.
Yeah, because men pretend that when the other Fox, the network, mm-hmm. has their 5 sexy women in tight cocktail dresses show in the morning, which kind of replaces the Price is Right models, that you have these young women, alpha females, sitting in these awkward positions on couches, right? Mm-hmm. And there's usually one fat guy in the middle, like me or you. You're not fat. But some dumpy guy sitting there in the middle not knowing what to say. And I think people watch that stuff.
Oh, sure they do. It's you know, it's part of the one of those TV conventions, you know, eye candy, whether it's the weather girl from the old school or whatever. But now people are starting to say that's not important. That's not what we're here for. We're here to do remotes about blizzards from the Kennedys or from the Oasis.
Those are stupid, too, aren't they?
Well, having had to do those types of things, go outside and talk to people, it's brutal. And it's more brutal if you don't have to get to wear a hat. You know?
Well, yeah, but going outside and doing a weather story, all reporters have to do it is one thing. The idea of treating women like they're eye candy in a medium that seeks eye candy is kind of hypocritical, or weird. It's kind of like they're pretending we're not doing it when we are doing it.
Sure.
But the bottom line is, I wouldn't want to be the person having to stand there in front of streets and sand talking to Joe Bag of Donuts, waiting for, you know, the lights to go on and the snow plows to run. I think it's kind of dumb. And then on the other hand, you have women sometimes don't want to wear hats, okay? They don't want to mess up their hair. Let's just admit it, okay?
That's true.
You know, that whole Chris Rock thing, don't touch the hair.
Right.
Right? You just don't, you know.
That's true. I think, from my own personal experience, but the most embarrassing thing is, how do you let something like this get out? Like, you know, you do it and you try to keep it quiet.
The fact is that their news director, right? I think it's a news director. Let me get it right so I can, their news director has ruled in an email. I'm reading Robert Feeder. Dan Salamone, executive producer at Fox-owned WFLD Chicago, told the women who report on Good Day Chicago not to wear hats during their outdoor live shots this winter, sources said. Salamone's directive, which he did not issue to male reporters, said the women would, quote, look a lot better without hats, mm-hmm. and should go without them from now on. And this got some TV news journalists, women tweeting about it, and they started responding. I put it out on Twitter. I think Lauren Jiggets retweeted me. So, yeah. One of my readers tweeted out a picture of a gorgeous woman with a mini skirt and boots but a sweater. And I think, is that where they want to go? Why don't you just be honest, TV news people, executives? Is that what they want?
I think they're trying to
kind of like the sexy
They're trying to do anything to get the ratings back up in the morning, I think. Right. It's highly contested because you're between, I think, the all-world type of GN, which always kind of brings people in, and then you have the National Today or Good Morning America. They're kind of falling down on that and as far as the ratings go. So they're trying, probably just trying to get something. Any little bit helps to get ratings, but that's a kiss of death. This is a small market. You can't. It's not a small market. This is one of those markets you can't alienate.
This is Chicago. This is the hard news capital. This is the place where TV reporters, TV stations talk about themselves as if they're actually reporting the news. And there are many who do. I'll give you some names of just the great women reporters.
Sure.
Marianne Ahern, Carol Moren, Susan Schulte. You know, you could keep going down from every station. There are good reporters out there that aren't there so they can wear sexy outfits or have big hair. Mm-hmm. So 80s. But we're coming up to sweeps week. We don't do that at the paper, do we?
What?
Do we have, like, sweeps?
No.
Like, all right, here's some highlights. I asked a media reporter, who shall go unnamed, to give me a series of some of the great stupid sweeps. You know, do they still do sweeps, Jeff Carlin?
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right? Are we getting into that period now?
It's quarterly usually, so it depends. I think it's February is usually sweeps. I'd have to.
Yeah, we're coming up to it, right?
Right. Yeah.
What are we? What's the day here?
It's the 6th of
June. So we got another month.
Yeah, month.
I'm a little early. Right?
Hey, you got to prepare for it, though.
Prepare for it. Yeah. So they're probably out there right now,
finding that squirrel on the.
It's not the
board
squirrel
being towed behind a little micro motorboat.
That is so cliche. The cliche of the water skiing squirrel.
Yeah, water skiing squirrel.
But that's not the sweeps. The sweeps would be what, like the water skiing squirrel that can
paid for with your tax dollars.
That can help discover a cure for a strange disease.
Paid for with your tax dollars.
Or a disease that is received by. Old guys who buy gold from commercials on TV.
Exactly. Right.
Paid for by your tax dollars. Okay, here's some famous sweeps. Let's talk about them, okay? Hidden Hotel Horrors. You remember this one?
Is that horrors or can you spell that one for me?
Oh, you mean I was...
No,
in
no.
my mind,
yeah.
Let's do it. Let's establish for this audience. In my mind, I'm Alistair Cook.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Got it.
But in my voice, I'm not. Okay.
John Cass.
All right. Hidden Hotel Horrors. HORRORS. This was in 1996, years ago. Channel 5's investigative team learned it from an Indianapolis station that aired a similar report, that hotels rarely change their blankets. And reporter Dave Savini, who Will Lee helped me get a column on Dave Savini doing a thing on killer absurd clowns or something. Remember Frightening Clowns?
Yeah, that was back in October.
Right. Right. Scary clowns that were some guy wore a clown outfit at a cemetery and scared some people, and he did a whole report on it. Anyway, okay, back then, Savini did a story. Hotels rarely change their blankets. And he and a forensic scientist used a black light to identify splotches of bodily fluids on your hotel blanket. Okay, so when you saw that, I remember covering the Mike Tyson trial in Indianapolis. That's probably where they got this from. And Tyson, there was forensic testimony about his rape trial. And after that, I walk into a hotel, and I use a coat hanger to touch the sheet because I don't want to touch, and I take everything off the bed and sleep just on the white sheet with no blanket. And that's how it's done. All right, here's one. You'll never forget this one. Mean Street Diary. This is 1991. This is ancient. Is this before Monica Lewinsky was eating pizza with Bill Clinton?
Yeah, definitely.
Way before.
That's a little too old. Okay, that's the one embarrassing.
Donald Trump?
That's the embarrassing one where Walter Jacobson dressed up like a homeless bum and they did 6 parts on it, I think. Did they?
They
did several, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Chicago. It was a 6-part series on Rahm called Chicagoland. It was like that, except Rahm was himself. No, Rahm wasn't himself. Rahm was a guy playing a mayor who loved African Americans to the point where he would hug everyone that he saw on the show.
Yeah,
that remember
was
that?
That was a David Simon produced thing, I think.
Hey, brother, you know that kind of stuff. Like, here's a book. My 9-year-old girl read it, so why don't you read it? You're 16, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, that was good. Garage Doors of Death. Okay, that's scary. And my favorite, or two of my favorites, Lester Holt, you know, the famous anchor Lester Holt, he put on a disguise and bought ice cream and had the scoops of ice cream tested for bacteria. Are you? This is what you do for, this is news?
Sweeps.
Sweeps.
But now they can't wear hats.
Now they can't wear hats. And my favorite, High Heel Hell, which I remember the logo. For, you know, High Heel Hell, Janet Davies will report. And it had some pink high heel shoes and a very trim, gorgeous female legs. And that was the logo. Okay? And that's all you have to know about TV news.
Hey, John, can I make a confession to you?
You those like were, high heels?
Those were my legs that they used for, that you know, I allowed them
Did
to.
Did you use a depilatory cream?
No, I'm actually naturally smoothless. And then hairless, no hair whatsoever.
All right, so that you gave me a great idea.
That's frightening.
People are in. Okay, this is what we do. We talk about stuff like this, and Will will throw something out, and this is how the column is going to be born. So how would you save TV news with something like that? Will Lee, the like Will, if you were a TV news executive, I would take young Will Lee and say, the man has no hair on his body. Take young, trim guys, bring them to hair transplant places and get like hair put on your chest or something.
Okay, John, this is I'm happy to tell you how hairless I am, but I can't go and tell random strangers how hairless I am. That's none of their business.
Yeah, I've got bad news for you, Will. You already did.
He did in the blowtorch on the big podcast. What else? How else could we save TV news? Burly bearded guys like in Speedos, Jeff Carlin,
Dave Savini going out on the CTA. Secretly snipping hair from guys' beards, hipsters' beards, and then testing that. That would be a good sweeps piece for bacteria.
No, I'm old school.
As nice soup from 2 years ago.
No, I'm old school as you know. So I'm a big fan of the old news, even though it's you know mostly old white guys doing the news. But I say, hey, bring in a Ouija board and get the ghost of Fahey Flynn and John Drury and to do the news. I'll watch that.
Is it true that Fahey Flynn once was drunk and was at a afternoon? I vaguely remember this. Maybe it wasn't him, but it sounds like him. Can you libel a dead man? I forgot.
You cannot.
I cannot. Okay.
Not in
so I don't mean anything. I don't mean anything cruel and malicious about it. But I think he liked a cocktail or two, and he was at a luncheon, at a hotel, and he was walking. People were cheering, and he's walking forward. And they said, "Stop, Fahey!" And he fell off the stage. It was nice. I think it was very dramatic. I don't know how you'd save TV news because I don't know who watches it. And I don't know what it's about. It's like, we're standing here at 51st and Wentworth where three kids just got shot. And they're dead and mom's crying and oh, my baby, right?
Right.
And then the mayor says, this shall not stand.
Right. And then you cut to a clip of the president crying about it.
Then you cut to the, oh, man, that was nice this week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Stannis had a good cartoon. You see it? Will pointed
out
to
me. I pointed it out to you.
Scott Stannis, there's like three conservatives at the Tribune, and we meet in a small group of
support group.
Anyway, he did a thing of a cartoon of the Constitution with the president painting the O decal, and over We the People.
The Obama O from the campaign.
It was sweet. Yeah. Yeah, it was sweet. Although I don't really know if that's such a bad idea, but what he came up with, but I don't know. I really don't know who watches TV news. I don't watch it.
I watch it. I think it's a game. I think now if you're one of those folks like me growing up watching TV, or first of all, you want to be able to gauge if the city is as miserable as you think it is. So you watch it and say, oh, what's the bad news going on? So we could justify my sort of reaction to it. And then you're flicking for the first minute. Who has the best lead-off story? Some of the news is, and I won't mention any of them.
Right.
They lead off, you say, that's what you're leading off with? about this.
Squirrel in high heels that Jeff Carlin wants a hair transplant for? Yeah, right.
You know, I belong to a Channel 7 house. That was always what we did. You know, my grandmother, her house was always Channel 2. It was always Curtis and Jacobson. Mm-hmm. Some people are, you know, NBC 5 families. They still are.
They're still like Oldsmobile family.
Sure. I never grew up on news, though, like that. We had the paper. We had the Trib and the Daily Herald. And my mom would go cover to cover on it. And my dad would read the first section. And I would... flip through the sports and
the funny papers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But then I would
catch
the other stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Go play with your rocket
outside. Family circus. That poor family. But yeah, I never watched the news. Never. But I always was up on news because of the newspaper, because that's where news really was.
I've always read the papers. We had a lot of papers in our house, all the papers. There were four at one time.
Four.
Maybe there'll be two by the end of this podcast. Or one, I mean. And the thing is, the TV news in a newspaper newsroom was very important at one time. You had reporters assigned to watch the 5, 6, and 10. We had to watch it, and they would make a report out for everybody on the city desk and obviously the city editor and all these folks. And then you would scramble if you didn't have anything.
Right.
You know how many reporters are assigned to watch TV news in a newsroom now?
An intern?
None. Nobody watches it because there's nothing on it. They don't do anything. There's not really any reports. If there's a good report like a Marianne Ahern or a Carol Marin, Paul Meineke, when he was before he retired, I guess Jay Levine is now retiring, stepping down. Probably Rahm is crying now. Rahm's like, what do I do without Jay? If they had a good report, you'd watch it, but...
I always thought it was... I always thought the progression was the paper, like, hits the story. You know, there's all the legwork there, and you get a story. And then the TV sees that, picks and chooses the headlines, pulls the hot, sexy pieces out of it, and then moves from there. And that was kind of... And then radio, we would get the... You know, we would pick up from the TV and then the paper.
Can we tell a radio thing that bothers me about radio? Radio newsrooms.
Sure.
Okay. There's usually like two guys in there, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not a huge news staff. They don't attribute anything from what they read. Why don't they? Why don't they say, some do. I have to say, I've heard some reports, even here at the Tribune Tower, that say the Tribune is reporting or the Sun-Times reported or something. Mm-hmm. I don't hear a lot of attribution, but the worst non-attributors is television. Here's what happens. They cut out the story. They give it to a producer. The producer takes the talent, that's what they call them, by the hand, and they basically recreate what they've just read.
Right.
And they fill in quotes.
And then they take them to the spot where it happened, and then they own the story. But I think the radio news thing is like, if you see it in the Trib, so you see it in the Trib, you see the Sun Times and DNA Info, okay?
Okay.
Just threw it out there.
Right.
Then it's okay, fair game. It's enough places where it's just, it happened, it's news, enough people have it. But if it's just one, you know, if it's a Trib report or a Sun Times report, then it's attributed to them. But that when you get more than one, then it's already out there. It's everybody's got it. And then the attribution falls by the wayside. Yeah. Unless it's a specific report. But if it's a public press conference, I mean.
Then you don't have to. Right. You don't have to. A public press, but those don't make news. Let's state right now. Those don't make news. A news conference isn't about making news. It's about the mayor managing. Controlling
the message.
And he's been very good at it. What do you think about where he is, Will? Mayor Rahm. Are you listening to this, Rahm? I'll come over tomorrow and sit down and talk to you.
He's been having a hard past 2 months, you'd say, for certain. I mean, I go back to when he passed that really contentious budget, which I thought could have landed a lot of aldermen out in their ears. Mm-hmm. And you go from that until everything just kind of starting with this columnist story about this video that was going to tear the city apart.
That was, when did I do that? November. Right?
November. That was November 10th when it went out. And from there, it's just been steadily sliding downhill from there.
Well,
you know?
I think I actually was thinking about it before I wrote it. I was on with Ro and Anna, right?
Yeah.
on your the show that you produce.
Yeah, we were talking about it. We had you on for something unrelated, and then you wrote it, and we had you back on. But yeah, that was right then, and it was right at the 10th there. And it's been a tough fall from there.
It has been. The wheels come off the bus, guys. He thinks he's back, huh? Well, he thinks he's there. He's back. But then he does something stupid, okay? And here's what he did stupidly the other day. It's like right when I start wanting to give him a hug, I mean it, like a little brother, like, come on, man, come on, I'll hug, you know, like love it up a little bit, make him feel better about himself. Every time I start feeling that he is a victim of the same weasels that he used to leak to in the Washington press corps who are now peeling his skin off, you know what I mean, acting like they're really tough when they kissed his butt for years. Every time I feel that he's unfairly ravaged by all, or savaged by all that, pardon me, he comes up with a story like this. Emanuel defends his law department. Can you give us a fill on that? You know what that story is,
yeah,
right?
Right. Yeah.
The lawyers, two top lawyers for the city law department lied and hid evidence in a police shooting case, and the great Judge Chang, federal judge, called them out on it, basically reprimanded the city and the law department. You never see that happening. He basically that lawyer is done in the legal profession now. And here's Rahm. Here's the lead from John Byrne and Bill Ruthart today in the Chicago Tribune. Mayor Rahm Emanuel said Tuesday, it's not possible that City Hall's law department is part of a cover-up culture he's acknowledged exists at the police department. And that comes one day after a federal judge ruled that a city lawyer intentionally concealed evidence in a trial over fatal Chicago police shooting. How tone deaf can you be where you say the sun is up and you say it's night? I mean, how tone deaf is that of the mayor?
I think he's probably trying to a lot of the stuff, a lot of these, going back to Laquan, of course, and these other sort of small cases. I think you and I talked about it, the case where Officer Dale Pearson was shot and then a prosecutor was fired by Anita Alvarez because he made some false statements. It's all starting to mount up, you know, like all a year ago, these would have all been individual stories. No one would have put them all together.
Right.
But now, after the Laquan case, everyone's starting to say, this is all starting to, you know, look suspicious. I told you, I did an interview with Al Jazeera about a month ago. And basically, all I was trying to explain to them, because they were all trying to get a sense of what's going on here in Chicago. And what I was just trying to explain to them was, it's not just Rahm. It's not just any one person. It's the entire system, you know, city, county, state. Everything is built to try to, obfuscate and try to hide the information, you know, to hide and get away from uncomfortable questions now. And now these questions are coming every single day.
Once you have the context of the Laquan McDonald killing and the mayor sitting on the video so he could get reelected. And that's now that we wrote about it, that's become sort of like an understood baseline. That causes him serious problems because any other thing that happens is seen in the context of the cover-up, even if he may not have ordered it. And then he responds the way he laughed when he was asked about it derisively. The city is in trouble in a lot of different areas. Education is going to, you know, we're going to have a school strike. They're short of money. The mayor's now whining about Governor Rauner. Governor Rauner just recently did a radio interview in which he basically ripped Rahm's head off and basically called him a coward for not helping with fight with Michael Madigan. And at the same time, you have another thing I want to ask you about, because you wrote a great column recently. When I was off, you did one of the fill-in columns, and it was about Black Lives Matter in Chicago, rethinking Black Lives Matter by William Lee. And I thought, well, that was just an outstanding piece because I say that you called out Black Lives Matter. You say you didn't, but whatever. What do you think of the piece?
No, thanks.
Who wrote it?
First of all, thanks for that compliment.
And people should go online, Google Will Lee, and what was the headline? I forgot the...
It was about the Dunbar kids, which really was the real impetus for it.
And that's the Dunbar High School.
Right.
In which...
Right. Dunbar is over in Bronzeville, 30th and King Drive. And last summer, I worked the 4th of July weekend, which was a very bloody weekend. I was working for several days, and it became clear to me that a few of the murder victims were all Dunbar students, and nothing ever came of that. You know, like usually if you're a reporter, you're trying to find the little things that people kind of overlook. And it just seems strange to me that you have three teenagers, all 17, were all murdered in separate incidents, just days apart, 6 days apart. And I just thought that was insane. Now, fast forward to now, we have the Black Lives Matters situation, and you have, you know, in the wake of the Laquan McDonald case, and then the other case on the West Side where the young man and the woman were killed by police.
The kid with the police with the baseball bat, and the witness,
right,
who was coming out her door, and she was shot to death.
Right. All of this stuff now has led to protests, but I guess the thing that I've always kind of been, you know, a little bit iffy with the Black Lives Matter things, of course, is that I feel like, you know, they're protesting the police thing, and that's an important matter. It truly is. But I've been, a cop reporter in this town for 15 years, and each year someone innocent dies. Innocent blood is spilled, and they're forgotten, you know, unless you're you have a very high story like Hadiya Pendleton.
She's the perfect victim.
Right. Or you have a low story like Laquan, who's a troubled young man who got killed. Unless you're one of those, very high or very low, you're going to get ignored. If you're just a regular kid walking around the city, you know, or, you know, a working stiff like anybody else, just like a lot of people I mentioned, you get forgotten about. So I said my whole point of that article was there are a lot of forgotten or ignored people, you know, on the South and West Sides who you can be taking up the banner for them, and then people will listen to you. After I wrote that column, I've got, you know, more than 100 emails and calls and everything from people saying, you know what, I support what Black Lives Matters are saying, but I don't believe some of their tactics I don't support. And that was kind of the thing.
How about the name Black Lives Matter? We've gone around on this. What you guys are listening to is how we talk about when we're serious and not goofing around about, you know, sexy outfits for TV personalities. But we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. Right. So let me ask you this for the record, so that people can hear, you know, how journalists talk about their stories.
Right.
You use Black Lives Matter. I would offer that Black Lives Matter is kind of it doesn't help the cause because it tells me as a white guy, or if you're Latino, if you're anything other than black, that you don't matter in that, by definition, in that discussion. Mm-hmm. You're only there to be a bit player or a helper of some kind, either through taxes or support for a political ideology, but you don't matter. You're out of it. And I wonder if you think Black Lives Matter maybe falls down just by the use of the name or not.
I don't think that. I think I understand what you're saying, but I think just kind of on the point I was just making is that, you know, you can be killed, murdered on complete accident in this city, and it just kind of is ignored. Whereas, you know, sometimes I've seen some of the stories I've seen become popular on our website or in the news. It could be just so silly and inconsequential, yet, you know, an actual teenager can get killed, and then it's like, oh, well, that's just how things are done.
Well, look at the kids, the 20-year-old adult males who were canoeing in an icy lake, right, and were probably drunk and were not prepared. And news has been wall-to-wall talking about, you know, TV news, wall-to-wall covering that. Mm-hmm. And you have four adults who chose to be foolish and stupid and take a canoe out on a frozen lake in the middle of winter, and they tipped it and they drowned.
Is that
an awful story?
But is it like media, racist media?
It's,
we cover that one. We don't cover blacks who get shot down.
I mean, it's evidence of that. That line has been drawn, and like Will said, you know, you've got kids who do nothing more than just get up in the morning and wind up dead on the South Side, the West Side, wherever, and it's a blip on a story. It says, you know, X number of kids shot today.
We just had another one last night.
Right.
Two high school kids and a girl. Usually you don't see the girls getting killed. Now girls are getting killed, too.
And that's, you know? And that's actually...
I mean, players, right?
And that's exactly the thing about it. It's that, and not even just the kids, but of course kids being murdered is a big thing because in the news business, and John knows this, and Jeff, you know this, is that, you know, I came up in City News, and there are three stories that are always, you know, spark big responses. And it is children being abused or killed, animals, and old people.
Animals, you know? Especially.
Animals, especially. Animals at the top of that list. But we've, you know, we just had this fall where you had two children, one a dismembered toddler, another one killed by gang members. And both of those stories, you know, even the Tyshawn Lee one where he's murdered by gang members because of, you know, his father's alleged affiliation, that story even fell out of, you know, once the Laquan McDonald case happened, that story disappeared completely.
We're trying to look for, you and I aren't looking for this, and I want to go on record, and Jeff knows this because we were at the other place where I was reporting this stuff. We look for the imperfect victims, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy shooting dice in the in an abandoned house that gets shot in the back. Mm-hmm. The kid that might have a couple of things on, you know, a rap sheet. They're ignored, and that's sad. Mm-hmm. But we're also looking for what the easy story is. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing easier than saying that someone is, like, sort of pristine, and they were shot down or killed by this unfeeling, terrible city and a system that doesn't care for them. Mm-hmm. It's real easy. Of course, it's, what do we say when we're at work? It's never the thing, you know, it's never the thing that you think, and it's always a lot more complicated than what it is.
Sure, it's a complex thing, and people lie or fix the story, and it's like a Area 5 detective told me, like, very early in my career. He's like, everybody lies. You know, people will the victim's family will lie because maybe they weren't perfect and they don't want them smeared. The cops lie because they think that, honestly, that this person is maybe a bad person and I want to get him off the street. And maybe I don't have all the evidence, but maybe I can
we'll
do
make
that.
A case on him because he's a child molester.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, they do it.
You know, so the victims themselves may lie because they don't, you know, I'll take care of this myself if they're, you know, if this
How's
is a
this
gang
one?
Thing.
How's this for lies? And this bothered me. This one frosted me because I got burned in it. And I shouldn't have because I've only been covering murders for a long time, like 2 centuries. We were out in the crazy hundreds in Roseland. A woman, an old man, is watching cowboy movies in his living room. With his grandson.
Have an ice cream.
Right. And he's shot to death through the window.
Right.
And so we go there, and the old lady, the grandma's saying, I'm going back to the South. I think it was Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I'm going back. I don't care. And it was all the drama. Mm-hmm. And we're running around. You were with me?
No, you were out there by yourself. I was covering it from the
phone. You were doing the phone work, and I was out there. Pete Nikias from the Trib was out there. Mm-hmm. I think Big News, Big View was out. I forgot who was shooting it. He was. Great photographer. And we're out there, and I heard the tales of woe, and I came back. And I wrote a story, you know, tale of woe, grandfather and everything. It was heartbreaking just because it was sad. The guy worked all his life. He worked hard. 6 weeks later, comes the other story. A few weeks later, the other story. That one of the kids in the house, one of his grandchildren, was shooting at a guy across the street or a group across the street. And they were shooting back and forth at each other. And in the middle was a woman with a baby in a car. Mm-hmm. And the glass was shattered with the shots that could have killed the infant or the mother. Mm-hmm. Where was the and I kept asking when I was in there, in the house, right, with the grief, and I'm going to Mississippi, and oh my God, and you know all that. I asked, "Where's the other kid? Where's the kid? Where's the nephew? Where's your son? Where's your grandson?" No one knew. He's at school. He's not here, right? Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of thing where I had that little thing in my ear. It's kind of a little buzzing, like a little bee saying, pay attention, pay attention, mm-hmm. pay attention to what's not in the story, mm-hmm. right? And I didn't. So was it legitimate to write a column that the old man was killed and it was terrible? Yeah, but was it not complete? Yes, because one of his family members were part of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's another very horrible thing.
Right.
One of those things that get hidden down that, you know, a young person who's a target, who's involved in that lifestyle or whatever, you shoot at somebody, then you become the target. And the second you go around your family, they become targets. They, you know, that crosshairs encompasses all of them. And that's happened. I couldn't tell you how many times I've worked on that story, but it's usually kind of kept quiet where people say, oh, yeah, the it's gang related and it's, yeah. You know, people know. The thing last night on Dorchester, they say the two teenage boys.
The boy and the girl, you mean?
Right. Well, there was two boys that were shot and it was the girl. The girl died and one of the boys died.
One got it and the other boy got it in the hand.
Right. And they think that the two guys were the targets and the girl who was just friends with them just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
One of the points of your column was, and you've been saying this to me privately for quite some time, just because we haven't been talking on the microphone. I guess if this continues, we'll do it. People can actually hear what you're thinking before you write it. Is that some people, maybe you just have to move. For all the talk about blah, blah, blah with the politicians and, you know, the code of silence. Rahm says the code of silence is in the neighborhood, but it's really with his own law department. Maybe people are just like, I'm out of here.
Well, people have been saying that. That's the other quiet story. It's as quiet as it's been kept, you know. Black folks have been leaving Chicago for the last 30 years. Like, it started off slow. People started moving to Atlanta back, you know, in the 80s when I was a kid, and they're moving to California. It's a real, you know, reverse migration. People going back to the South where it's a little bit warmer or where there are better job opportunities. You know, in the last couple of years, I've had relatives and friends and, you know, classmates, everyone just said, yep, I've had enough of Chicago, I'm done.
I had good friends of mine. We lived on the north side for a while in my brief north side life, northwest side, and there were a lot of Latino gangs in the neighborhood. So the family left. They went to the southwestern United States, thinking it was beautiful Georgia O'Keeffe landscapes and all that. And they were out there, beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. But there were meth, all the teenage boys were riding dirt bikes, and there was a lot of meth cooking going on.
Yeah.
So you can't, there's nowhere you can go.
No. Well, unless you want to escape the murder, right? So some of those places, they just don't have the likelihood of getting killed that you'll have in Chicago. So that's what you're left. That's what you're, especially in cities becoming a much more expensive place to live, as you and I know, and Jeff knows as well. So it's why stay when you can have you can spend less money and have a bigger plot of land and that sort of thing somewhere else.
Somewhere else, because you know why? Even though I'm not in the city, I'm living in the burbs now, I still think of the city. I don't go west, I go east. Always my eyes are on Chicago. And you know what? This is our place. This is our town. This is where we live. This is where we raise our families, where we have our friends. And none of these scumbags, politicians, criminals, nobody is going to drive us out of our own town. And that's the Chicago way.